Take your Bibles. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we'll look in verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." And then verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much again for tonight. Lord, thank you again for your word. Lord, help us not take it for granted. Lord, there's so much that we need from you in these days. And I pray, Lord, that most of all, through all that we're going through here on this earth, Lord, you help us to be faithful to you. So I pray, Lord, you continue to guard our church. Lord, help each and every one of us that are here tonight and be encouraged to continue to work at being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I think one of the things that I've learned this year, probably in the last, since 2020, right, is, how many times we taught in Sunday school or pastors preached about there's no threat in America. You know, we don't have to worry about someone coming in and knocking our doors down and taking our Bibles and all those things, and how quickly things seem to be changing, and how easily and how fragile we've come to realize our liberty is. And I think one of the things that have struck me probably the most in my personal life is that of my faithfulness. Am I really faithful? Have I been faithful when the times were going good, where there was no real threat, no real concern about our freedoms and losing our freedom and not being able to come to church and assemble? You know, you think about how easy it is to have faith in God when things are going great, when the car's running, when the job's paying you, and when you don't get threatened with losing your job if you don't take a vaccine, right? Isn't it easy to trust the Lord when everything seems to be going our way and life is good, right? Health is there and got a little money in the bank or whatever. And now, for the first time in our history, as Americans, we're actually being restricted. People are actually losing their jobs. We have a friend whose husband was told that he's going to have to get the vaccine or he's going to have to lose his job. He works for the Department of Defense. It's just a matter of time for the Department of State. My job does the same thing. And what are we going to do as believers? And I love the fact that our pastor has prepared us so well. I applaud our pastor. I know of other churches that don't get the preparation that we're getting, the detailed concerns of what actually could be happening. And heaven help us, it'd be nice if God gave us some more mercy and some more time and all these things don't come to be. But what are we going to do when there are the restrictions, when there are the job losses, when there are potentially a lot of big setbacks with health, with money, with how we normally live our lives? Well, that's why I want to teach tonight on this lesson on faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faith, faithful. Faithfulness is used in the Bible. It's mentioned in the Bible 348 times. Our most common Bible definition, I think most of us know and familiar with, is Hebrews 1:1, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not something we can necessarily look at or hold. It's intangible. Verse 2 of Hebrews says, "For by it the elders obtain a good report." Our forefathers in the Bible times, and even in our history, we may have family and forefathers before us that were faithful men. And they have a good report because of their faith. Right? If you think back to someone in your life that influenced you for God, those are the kind of heroes that we all should be striving to have and look for, but we also should be striving to be a faithful person, so that when our kids grow up and your grandkids grow up, they could look back and say, my mom or my dad or my grandpa, my grandma were faithful. They were faithful. It said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You know, we've all failed the Lord. And if everyone knew everything that we did that was wrong, you know, that's what our flesh wants to do. Everyone wants to dig up the dirt on everybody, right? But we can still obtain a good report by faith if we live a life of faith. And that's why this message on faithfulness, I think, is so important. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's going to reward our faith. God is impressed with our faith. Without faith, we cannot please God at all. There's nothing about us that pleases God except for our faith. So faith is so simple, but yet it's so hard because it's so simple, right? By faith, we get saved. We put our faith and trust in Jesus, and he saves us. That is a faith decision. You've got to learn to trust God by faith. That's what pleases God. Because of faith, Noah prepared an ark, right? He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his family. By faith, Abraham went where he didn't even know where he was going, but he left and followed God. Faith produces action. The faith that God allows us to have produces action in our life. It ought to. Our actions show our faith. James 2:26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Your faith should be producing some activity of work of faith in your life. One of the, you know, some of the times in my life as a saved person, in my saved life, that I've struggled the most with my salvation are the times where I'm not reading my Bible. I may be in church, but I'm not walking with God. I'm not praying. I'm not having a fellowship with the Lord. I'm not working at it. It's in those times that I struggled the most with my salvation in the past. Faithfulness ought to be something that every Christian's working at, our faithfulness. Our faithfulness is so important to God, it needs to be important to us. In John chapter 20, I love the story. That's where you are right now, I believe, right? John chapter 20. You've heard the story about doubting Thomas. And we're going to touch on him a little bit, but we're going to do some of the other verses before we get there. There's only 3 points in my message tonight, and basically they revolve around this. When we are faithful, number one, we draw from the right source of faith. We draw from the right source of faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith only comes from God's word, the right kind of faith, all right? The faith that God wants us to have. A lot of people have faith in a lot of things, but they're not Bible. So if we're going to be faithful, we're going to draw from the right source of faith. That's from the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's as simple as that. The more time we spend in God's word, the more God can speak to us, the more God can strengthen us, the more faith we can place in the Lord as he shows himself to us through his word. That's the only time, the only way. John 20:19, if you're there in John chapter 20, in verse 19, it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Look at their response to Jesus when he comes to them. Remember, Jesus has already been crucified. This is his first appearance back to the disciples after his resurrection. Okay? So this is the first time that he's come back and shown himself to them. All right? Now, that happened in the previous verse in chapter 15. Now, in chapter 20, this is the second appearance the first appearance still. This is still the first appearance, okay? But look at their response in verse 20 when Jesus came and stood in the midst. It says in verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and look at them. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. See, Jesus is there in his resurrected body. They saw the Lord. But we know in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and his Word are synonymous. They are one and the same. God is the Word, and the Word is God, and God is Jesus. And we know that in verse 14 of John chapter 1. When Jesus, the Word, came there to them, they were glad. They saw the Lord. They were encouraged. Listen, if we're going to be faithful, when we are faithful, we're going to draw our strength, we're going to draw our faith from Jesus, from his Word. That's the only place, is the source from where we draw our faith from. It's from the Word of God. If you look in, I love John chapter 17. Go back a couple of chapters to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Listen to this. It's the Lord. Now, pastors taught us this. I've always had it confused because, you know, I was always taught that the Lord's Prayer was the model prayer. And that's the model prayer. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And this is Jesus praying before he was betrayed by Judas. Okay? And look in John chapter 17, verse 6, look at what it says. This is Jesus praying, remember, to God. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. God is praying, Jesus is praying, talking about the men that God gave them and how they've kept God's word. How they kept God's word. Look, I want to be faithful. I'm not always faithful. I'm working at it. But it's going to start with us keeping God's word. Getting in it. Reading it. Letting it affect our heart. Moving us to decisions. Look in John chapter 17, verse 17. This is again, Jesus is praying and he says, sanctify them through thy word, or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we'll read down through 19. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, God's word. It's only God's word that's going to change us and make a difference. It's only going to be God's word that it strengthens us and encourages us to continue to have faithfulness, to have faith and to be faithful to God in these days. In these days. God's word, if you look down, do me a favor, go over to Ephesians now. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go back and forth just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. And look in verse 20. As we draw from the right source of faith, that being the word of God, we see how God prayed concerning the men that God gave him, and how thy truth was going to sanctify them, and how his word was truth. We see God's word in our actions, and how God's word is going to affect our actions as in our own personal life. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there is a putting off and a putting on. As we live our life in faith, trying to live for the Lord and please God, there's going to always be, and should be, a putting off of the old man. Because when we got saved, we're still walking around in our flesh. We still have our fleshly desires. But the Spirit of God who's been made alive in us is warring against our flesh. And it's really a matter of us and who we're going to say yes to. Right? Are we going to answer to our flesh? Or are we going to answer to our spirit? Are we going to trust and do what we want to do? Or are we going to go and follow God and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. If we draw from the right source, being the Bible, we can be strengthened and renewed in our spirit, as the Bible says in verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4, to be able to live this life of faith that God wants us to live, to be faithful to God. He goes through and gives us a list of things of putting away, putting on, you know, lying, speak truth to his neighbor in verse 25. He goes in and says, be angry and sin not. In verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, right? Our communication, in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying of the, and that it may be minister grace unto the hearers. Think about this. How often, and I got my kids here, so I'm not going to, it's kind of hard for me to preach to kids when my only kids are, when it's my kids, right? But hey, are we ministering grace to the hearers with what we say? Right? Does our speech edify and lift up? Or is there malice and envy and strife coming out of our mouth? This is where we take God's word and apply it to our life. And where there's a need to correct something, then correct it. And where there's a need to be encouraged and keep going, and that's what you do. I love this. Now, and John, go back to John chapter 10 real quick. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You know, God's word, we can read it, and God, the Holy Spirit, can speak to our heart. And God's word does speak if we listen. Amen. If we listen, God will speak to us. If we're just reading to check the box, then we're going to miss a lot. But if we're reading and we're asking God to help us, to show us, to prick my heart, to show me what I need, God's word speaks to us. John chapter 10, look in verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, when was the last time, because of what you drew out of the Bible, that you made a decision for the Lord? That something in your life changed because of what you read, because of what God showed you? When was the last time God spoke to your heart and you said, nope, I can't do that no more? And you stopped it. You know, a lot of people nowadays are addicted to everything, it seems like, especially even the cell phones. We're walking around looking at our cell phone all day long, right? So it's not just the druggies. It's Christians, normal Christians that are, we're so addicted to everything, entertaining ourselves, that we don't even listen to God's voice anymore. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Look in Matthew 17:5 real quick. Go over to Matthew 17, verse 5. Matthew 17, verse 5. Matthew 17:5 says, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. This is God in a loud booming voice telling those on the mount with him, Peter and Andrew, or is it Peter, Jesus, and John, that this is Jesus, my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Thank God we have his word. We have the Holy Spirit that when we read his word, he can speak to our hearts and guide and direct us. But we've got to stop and listen. We've got to take time to stop and let God's word speak to our heart. Faithfulness to God begins as a child. I love this. Go over to Jeremiah. You say, why are children's churches so important? And why are the bus ministries so important? And, a bunch of kids running around and no one really seems to care about them. And a lot of them don't respect adults, right? So it's easy to get mad at them. Look in Jeremiah 22, look in verse 18. Jeremiah 22, verse 18, we'll read down to verse 21. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or ah, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry, and lift up thy voice in Bashan, and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. From his youth, he never obeyed the voice of God. And I would submit to you tonight, if you're going to trust God in the future, it's a good time to start now as a kid. Learn how to obey your parents. Because the Bible says if you obey your parents, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? We're supposed to be learning to, yes, as an adult, some of us got saved later in life, and we learned to walk by faith and trust God. But as a kid, the opportunity that you have to learn and to grow and to learn to love the Lord and obey God, it's something you need to work on now as a young person. Because God's keeping records. Did you notice that he knew him from the beginning? And said from the... Look at it again. In verse 21. At the end of that verse it says, This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. You ever seen... I have plenty of pictures in my mind of kids in the bus ministry that from the time they were able to ride the bus... 6 years old, 4, 5, 6 years old, rebellious at heart, and you correct them every week, and then they go up to the teen church and rebellious at heart, and then you warn them about when you get out of mom and dad's house, you're not going to make it, and they graduate and they move and they end up dead. We've had bus kids that have died from gunshots. Because they never would be corrected. They never would listen to those that God gave them to instruct and help them. Don't let that be your testimony that this has been your manner, that you don't ever obey God. So you never obey God. A small boy in England was asked by a scientific team to be lowered down to the side of a cliff to recover some important specimens. I can relate to this in just a second. They offered to pay him, and he still said no. He finally consented, but only on one condition, that his father would be the one to hold the ropes by which he would be lowered. Amen? You know, you say, well, why is it important for me to be faithful? Because your Heavenly Father, God, has been so faithful to us, has been so faithful to you, has died for you, has saved you, has given you a home church, has given you a Bible, has given you freedom to worship him in, has given you all kind of manner of family and encouragement. We ought to be faithful. You know, and I we were at the Grand Canyon a few weeks ago, and we were looking over the edge of the Grand Canyon on this rail. And it is, man, if the rail wasn't there, you would just die. And there's like, you see people's cell phones and credit cards, important things that have fallen over the rail. And I'm like, you know, and of course the kids are like, an iPhone. I was like, no. We're not going to get the iPhone. No way. It can stay down there. We're not going down there. But isn't it true? If only God is on my side. In the days that we're living in, if all we have to lean on is God, aren't you glad that we have God that we can trust? Amen. Well, a couple more things real quick and we'll be done. When we are faithful, we draw from the right source. That was number one. That's the Word of God. Number two, we have the right priorities. Amen. The right priorities. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Our tendency right now is to waver. We're concerned about what's going on. We have people that are concerned about the vaccine and they're wavering. We have people that are concerned about coming to church and not when we're not supposed to and may not show up or whatever. We have people wavering with their jobs. We need to have the right priorities. Go back to John chapter 20, which is our text. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Say, what do we do in a day where things are crazy. John chapter 2. Look in verse 19 again of John chapter 20. I'm sorry, John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for what? For the fear of the Jews. Right? So Jesus has already reappeared in his resurrected state. The word's getting around. There's fear among the Jews. The disciples are fearing the Jews. So they're now assembled on the Sunday. It's a Sunday night. And look at what it says in the middle of that verse. It says, when the doors were shut. The doors were shut. Think about this. I appreciate, and I said this earlier, about our pastor preparing us for whatever's going to happen. Right? He's given us great information on the vaccine and what the safety, the disease itself. He's prepared us, I think, pretty well. But think about this. The doors were shut because they feared the Jews. Right? They were prepared, but not they weren't necessarily hiding as much as they were being wise because they knew they were hated. Now take your Bible and go to John 17, 14 real quick. Go back to John 17, 14, just a couple of chapters. John 17, 14. Look at what it says in verse 14. It says, I have given them thy word. This is again Jesus praying to God the Father. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, in this walk of faith, in our attempt to work at being more faithful in a day where we're seeing more and more hatred towards Christians, because the alternative lifestyles that are being promoted are not godly lifestyles. They do hate Christians because of the stand that we take. And if we take a stand on the Bible, we're going to be contrary to the whole world. So they're going to hate us. They already do hate us. But that's why, like, they shut the doors because the Jews, for the fear of the Jews, we're being wise. Our pastor is preparing us for what we don't know what's coming, but we just need to be prepared that God is still in control. We are working on a faithful life to please the Lord. And God is warning us, if they hated him, they're going to hate us. And look in verse, and yeah, I'm not going to have you turn there, but Matthew 10, 16, it says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Just keeping our priorities straight in our Christian life. One thing I've learned in this last year and a half is what I thought was important is really not that important. The things I used to enjoy as a matter of entertainment or a matter of just something I like to do as a hobby, I could honestly care less, because we're dealing with such weighty issues of our life, of what we're dealing with, that it's amazing. But we need to be wise. We need to have our priorities right. And what are those priorities? Look in John, go back to John chapter 20 and look in verse 21. John chapter 20. So, and I'll go ahead and read, finish 19 again. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And look at verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. One of the things that's supposed to be part of our priority list, at the top of our priority list, is yes, be wise, right? Be prepared. Realize the world's going to hate us. But the next thing is to win the lost. That's what we're here to do, is to propagate the gospel. It doesn't matter if we end up in jail. It doesn't matter if we end up homeless. It doesn't matter where we are. We're supposed to be giving out the gospel. He is sending us out, as he said, to the wolves, as sheep to the wolves, but to be wise. But we're supposed to be giving them the gospel, to be focused on winning the lost. the next verse, in verse 22, he says this. He says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Basically, hey, he breathed on them the Holy Ghost, and anything that we do, soul winning or otherwise, in faith, is going to be because of the Holy Spirit, right? It's because we've been yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're asking God to fill us. We're asking God for His blessing. We're asking God to use us to meet the needs that only He can meet. Because remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, we cannot have the Holy Spirit indwelling us or filling us. Right? It's going to be a matter of us trusting God to fill us, to use us. And it'll be by His power that any of this happens. That any of this is successful in us winning the lost. So we need to walk and we need to win the lost. We need to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians 5:25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." It's a decision we have to make, to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. And then look in John, go back to John, or in John chapter 20, look in verse 24. It says, after all this, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." So all the disciples were met together except Thomas. For whatever reason, he was not there. I like to think, since it's on a Sunday night, they're at a Sunday night service, right? The doors were shut. They were assembled. Jesus was in the midst, but there was one person missing, and that was Thomas. If we're going to have the right priorities, church has to be among the priority list. Amen? Our faithfulness to church. No church. You know, you look at Thomas, go in verse 24, or look in verse 25. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," what did he say? "I will not believe." If we're not concerned about the lost, if we're not going to walk in the Spirit, and we're not going to faithfully attend church, I would say no church like Thomas equals depression, it equals doubt, it equals disobedience. Right? Just look at Thomas's life. Because he wasn't there, look what he missed. He said, "Unless I see him and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." If we can't be in church, you know, I understand that we have people that are sick and all that, and that, you know, there's things that keep us down. But if we can be in church, we got to be in church. That's why our church is so important. That's why when they shut us down, it's so important that we're here, right? I remember when we first shut down last year, and I was like, I'm concerned if we come and the government comes, and, you know, what if they take my kids from me for being here? That's my concern. And I told Pastor that, and I said, I'm just not comfortable until we figure out what's going on. Because at the time, we didn't know if what was going on, you know, how bad this was going to be. And how was it, the government power, or was it really a real thing? And I remember telling Pastor, until we really know, why risk something happening where I'm considered a risk to my kids and the government takes them away from me? I'm obviously at the point now, I'm like, you know what? God's going to take care of us. We're going to be faithful to God. Amen. We're going to be in church. Whether it's in here or outside or whether it's in someone's house, we're going to have church. That needs to be our attitude. Look, God's called us to be faithful. We need to be faithful to what God deems is important. And part of the list is winning souls, walking in the Spirit, and attending church. Attending church. Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." This is a time that we need to be more excited about being in church, not less excited. Where we're more determined to be in church than ever before is right now. As we see the day approaching, it's not going to get easier, but God can strengthen our faith and give us a determination to trust Him and let God sort it out. Amen. I'm glad we have a God that can do that. Lastly, we're almost out of time here. When we are faithful, We draw from the right source of faith. That's the Bible. We have the right priorities in our Christian life. And lastly, we're encouraged. We're encouraged. Look in John chapter 20 and look in verse 26. I love this. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas was with them this time. Amen. Then came Jesus with... Here we go. 8 days later. Verse 26, right? After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing." And look at Thomas. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God." You know, Thomas messed up the first time. He wasn't there. He said he was determined he wouldn't believe unless he could stick his finger in his hand in his side. Jesus wasn't even there when Thomas made that comment, but Jesus heard it. Right? Because as soon as Jesus walked in the next time, 8 days later, what's the first thing he said? "Hey, Thomas, come here." He knew Thomas's backslidden heart. He knew that Thomas messed up. But Jesus was there. He came back 8 days later and said, "Hey, come here, Thomas." And what happened to Thomas? "My Lord and my God." It changed his whole life. And look in verse 29. It gets even better than this. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's being you. We've not seen the Lord personally. We've not seen his nail-scarred hands and the pierce in his side. But aren't you glad, however many years ago you got saved, that someone came and gave you the gospel and you saw the Lord like Isaiah, high and lifted up. You saw that you were a sinner. And in the need of a Savior, and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, whatever that time was in your life. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Man, I'm excited. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm like doubting Thomas a lot of times. I miss out sometimes and I skip and my heart may not be here sometimes. But aren't you glad that he keeps coming back and gives us another chance and is lifting us up as if, "Hey, you've seen me, but they've not seen me." All the people that have seen, never seen Christ but put their trust in him. I want to challenge you. Draw from the right source. If all we're listening to is the media, and all we're watching is YouTube, and all we're doing is entertaining ourselves to death with information other than the Bible, this is not going to work for us. When we are faithful, we draw from the right source. It's the Word of God. When we're faithful, we have the right priorities. Soul winning. Walking in the Spirit, being faithful in church. And when we're faithful, we're encouraged, like Thomas. "My Lord and my God, you haven't quit on me yet. Lord, you're faithful." Lord is faithful. He'll never forsake us. Listen to this, and I'll be done. When it comes to the matter of faithfulness, and you probably heard this before, but this is really good for the kids. Very good to think about this and let this sink in real good. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Choose your words, for they become actions. Understand your actions, for they become habits. And study your habits, for they will become your character. And develop your character, for it becomes your destiny. Right? It all goes back. You say, "Where do I want to end up one day? In jail?" Okay, keep thinking the dirty thoughts. And that's your destiny, right? That's where it begins. Keep watching whatever on TV and in the internet. Keep, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd. Keep doing it because it's just you're building your character, and your character is going to determine your destiny. Faithfulness is so important. I hope this was encouragement to you tonight. And we'll go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement, Lord, and the exhortation to be faithful. And Lord,